All right, so welcome back. Nice to have all of you that have been here before, and I welcome any new listeners as well. You know, I'm sitting in my office here with Katie, my producer, and I was just saying to her, I have all these, like, I collect quotations, and every time I see one on Facebook or see one somewhere else, I take them, and I'll be honest with you, I don't always keep the part about who they came from. I'd have a tendency to cut those out. I'm sure there's going to be legal ramifications at some point. But I have a particular one in my office that I've sort of stands out amongst the rest. And I found it in a restaurant, as a matter of fact. It was written on the mirror in a restaurant, and I took a photograph of it, and then I had it done. It says, "The devil whispered in my ear, 'You're not strong enough to withstand the storm.'" And then the second line is, "Today I whispered in the devil's ear, 'I am the storm.'" And there's something special about that, because I think that part of my coaching practice is about getting people to understand that they are the storm, that they are in control of their lives, and they have far more decision-making power in their lives that they give away all the time. And more often than not, we give away our power because we're afraid of getting the answer we don't want. And that answer might be no. That answer might be, you're not going to get this job. That answer might be, no, I'm not going to date you. That answer might be whatever it is. Because in the normal course of life, we want to win something. We want to win that job. We want to win that date. We want to win that person. We want to win, 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 win. And sometimes we get lost in that process of winning, of actually at the end winning and going, not exactly sure what I won, because I've lost myself. One of the best stories about when no is a good answer, which I believe no is always a good answer as long as people understand what they're saying no to. Never walk away from a meeting, an opportunity, or anything else with any question in your mind that those people know exactly who I am. Because lots of times people, when they interview, they walk away and go, you know, I don't know if I really explain to them who I was. I don't really think they got who I was, right? So they kind of turned me down. You have that nagging. Well, if they'd only seen the real me, and I'm like, well, why didn't you show them the real me? Well, I'm a little worried if I show them the real me, then maybe they didn't want me. You know, it's kind of that chicken and egg chasing each other's tail around. But I had a client call a while back ago, and it was a big assignment. And I went in to see the CEO, and he was looking for a CFO. And I walked in, and I sat down 5 minutes into the meeting. He turns to me before I can even sort of, normally I sort of say, well, let me tell you a little bit about myself and what I've done in my life and my career, and trying to validate the situation, explain who I am so that I can set the table for the conversation. He said, yeah, that's all really interesting. He said, what are your fees? And so immediately the minimal hair on the back of my head goes up, and I can feel myself physically uncomfortable because I can't stand people like that. And can't stand to be in their presence. But I thought, let's give it a little longer than 6 minutes. And I said, well, normally I charge 25% of the first year's total compensation. And before I could finish anything else, he says to me, are you negotiable? It's a funny thing. I said, I've been doing this business for a long time. I said, nobody's ever asked me that. And I said, but you know, we just met, you know, in the spirit of partnership and getting off to a good start. I said, yeah, I'm negotiable. I said, I'll go from 25 to 35%. And he looks at me like I'm from Mars. And he says, no, moron, I mean less. And I just smiled at him. So first of all, now I know he's abusive. And I said, no, I understood you meant less. I said, but I said, how much less? I said, 20%. And I said, when I got to 20, it's the game for you. You'd want to get me to 15. And I said, then you want to get me to 10. You want to get me to 5. Then you want to get me to 0. And pretty soon before I leave the room, I'm paying you to do the assignment. And so I was like, where does it end? And I said, you know, because I realize now that if I'd come in here at 35 and maybe let myself be negotiated down to 30, I'd be 5% ahead and you'd feel much happier because you got one over on me. I said, anyways, I digress. And I said, listen, I'm not going to waste any more of your time. I'm going to bid you adieu. Thank you very much. And he goes, where are you going? And I said, well, I'm leaving. He goes, leaving? We haven't even got to know each other. I said, you have no interest in getting to know me. I said, your only interest is how cheap can you get my services? And so if your attitude is about how cheap are my services and how desperate am I, then you're never going to appreciate my services, because the reality is, regardless of what I deliver, it's going to be too expensive for you. If somebody phones you and says, well, how did Jim do? You're going to say, yeah, it was okay, but you know, he's expensive, right? And so I said, so I don't want that kind of situation. And then I sort of resorted to my next line in these situations is, I said, I'm looking for the type of clients that when they phone me and I see their name come up on the call display and I'm on with someone else, I turn to that person that I'm on with and I say, hang on a second. I pick up your call and I said, hi, do you need me right now or can I call you back? And I said, I'm not looking for clients who, when I see their name on the call display, I let it go to voicemail. And the person says to me, do you need to take that? And I said, absolutely not. And I said, and that's the category you'd be in. No offense, but I said, you're not for me and I am definitely not for you. So that's hard. You know, that's really hard. You're staring at me. The guy might as well have a stack of dough right in front of me, right? And every instinct in your body says, yeah, I could use that. You know, I have six kids, college, everything else. Who can't use more money, right? But you have to step back at those moments and have to reflect, am I moving forward by doing this or am I moving back? Is this going to put me in a situation where I'm going to be uncomfortable throughout? I can't do the job. He's not going to appreciate the job I'm doing. All of those types of things. And so, by the way, I never used to be like this. Never used to be like this. I would sort of bend over, try to make it work, be accommodative, all of those things. But I realized the only person getting hurt by that was me. So I coined the phrase, no's a good answer. And I realized through my coaching practice, getting people, and this is hard to get people to say no. I had a recent story with my son, Ed, who was interviewing with some companies in the cryptocurrency world, cybersecurity, all of that stuff. And he was interviewing with the CEO, and the CEO was like ultra aggressive, you know, super competitive, and, you know, wanted Ed to have a camera because he works remotely on his computer. I want to be able to see you. And, you know, are you up for this job? Yep. Like, are you one of those guys who gets up at 4 a.m., you know, gets to the gym, ready at the office? And Ed was like, what an asshole. And so I wish I'd been there because I could have just seen Ed's face as this guy's going on and on and on. And so Ed called me later on. He said, yeah, I'm not going to take that job. He said, I'm not even going to wait till he phones me. Way more money, you know, bigger job, everything else. But, you know, I guess my kids are sort of learned from me, but Ed didn't wait for him to offer him the job. Ed called the guy, said, hey, listen, don't know what you thought about the interview, but I'm not interested in the job. So I just, before you sort of put the offer together, because you said you're going to send me an offer, I just want to let you know, I don't think I'm for you and I don't think you're for them. And that discipline to believe in yourself, you know, Ed has ups and down moments, just like all of my other kids who are working and stuff like that. But at the core is that believing in yourself, and that when someone says no, they're not rejecting you. They're just saying you're not for us. And I think that people need to learn to not take that personally, right? I don't take it personally. Someone says, no, I don't like your process. I don't like the way you do it. I don't like you, you know, and I'm like, okay, but you completely understand who I am and how I do it? Absolutely. No problem. Thank you very much. It's powerful. And if you can adopt it into one aspect of your life to start with, you will find it will spread like wildfire through the rest of your life. There will be a surge in your energy. There will be a confidence in your step. And you will own it. And you will recognize that Not only is no a good answer, sometimes it's the best answer. You know, it's probably equally important in terms of learning that no is a good answer to get a lesson every once in a while when you should have said no and you didn't. So I had this assignment a while back ago from someone that called me out of the blue. Didn't really know them. They knew me a bit, but they came in and I got along quite well with the lady that was running HR and everything else. And so she said, can you send me your terms? And so I sent her my terms. She goes, yeah, that's, no, those, you know, those aren't the terms that we normally work under. She said, you know, would you be open to doing something different? And, you know, every warning bell in my brain was going off at that time. And, you know, I have to admit I did succumb to the dark side because I wanted something so badly. I wanted to do work with these people that I blew through all the warning lights. I blew through the yellows. I blew through the reds. Excuse me. And then I, so normally my fee structure is, I charge 25% and I take a third as a retainer, a third after 30 days and a third on completion. So she said, well, how about if you just take a small retainer and then the rest upon completion? So I found that that just doesn't really work because it leaves too many exits for the client. So high priority, this is going to open the door to much more business. Where have you heard that before, right? If you do a good job on this one, the candy's waiting down at the end of the rainbow. And I was weak, I'll admit it. So in a moment of weakness, I said, sure, why not? What's the harm, right? And so we start interviewing, and we need someone right away, like in 30 days. So I think it was a VP position. And we get a whole bunch of candidates, my partner Bob and I, it's going well. And she calls me up after about 2 weeks and says, you know, kind of changed our mind. We're going to make some organizational changes. We don't think we're going to need the VP person. Now, in my industry, when that happens, you close off one assignment and you open up another one. So she said, is there any way we could just roll this contract? So now I'm doubling down on stupidity. Is there any way we can just roll this contract into the other one? So I'm like, in for a penny, in for a pound. So I'm like, sure. Oh, okay. I said, is there any way we can get a little more retainer? No, let's just go with the small retainer, pay the whole thing, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. These people had no clue what they were doing, no clue what they wanted, all kinds of issues, which is why we get retainers, because sometimes it's out of our control. The client himself doesn't know what they want. And this thing was supposed to be a 45-day assignment. We're now into month six. They've made five offers to people that we've shown them. We have told them on all five offers they are significantly below what it takes to move the people. And so I'll never forget this. I was at the cottage, and so I get this phone call from her. I think it was July 1st weekend, and she said, listen, I just want to let you know that we're firing you. I was like, what? And she goes, we're firing you. We're not happy with the way the search has gone, and we're going to retain somebody else. So I was like, to be honest with you, there was a part of me that was like relieved, but there was another part of me that was like, are you kidding? You're firing me? You should be firing yourselves. You guys are incompetent at managing this search. And then she goes on to tell me, and I sort of said, well, you know, I think for all the work we've done, we should have gone back. We should get a little more money for that. And she says, it wasn't in the contract. That's not how the contract was written. And I said, I know, but the contract wasn't the normal contract that I do. She goes, well, that's not my fault. That's your fault. And she goes, you should know something. That she said, you know, we paid you a $10,000 retainer. Normally we don't pay people anything, or maybe $5,000. So she says, I'm going to send you a note formally canceling our agreement. So I said, all right. I said, thank you very much for the call, and hung up the phone. So I sat there and I was like, I was mad at myself, right? And I was really mad at myself. I was mad at my stupidity. I was mad at letting my desire. I was mad at having broken every one of my own rules. And so I said, you know what? She's right. It's not her fault. It's my fault. And I said, I'm going to phone and thank her. And my wife said to me, you're going to what? I said, I'm going to phone and thank her. She said, what are you going to thank her about, firing? I said, no, I'm going to thank her for reinforcing that my view of how to do these things is the absolute right way to do it. That I'm never, ever going to break that cardinal rule again. And so I phoned her and I said, listen, I know it's Friday afternoon. I said, I just wanted to phone and I wanted to thank you. And you can imagine she was like, what? I said, every bone in my body told me I shouldn't take this assignment. Every rule that I practice in my business told me I shouldn't take this assignment. I had multiple opportunities to regroup and hold, you know, things to the fire, hold my feet to the fire on this. And instead, I buckled at every moment. I gave up on my principles. I gave up on my value. I gave up on valuing myself, all because I wanted to do your work so badly that I didn't want you to say no, which is at the core of who I am, which is the core of what I've learned. So I said, I just want to thank you. I will use you as an example over and over throughout the rest of my life as what I will never do again. There was this dead silence. And then there was a few choice words and it wasn't happy birthday. And she hung up the phone. But, you know, I know some of you out there will think, what a dick I am for having done something like that. But the reality is, it was all my fault. It wasn't her fault. I laid it wide open. I let her take advantage of me. I let her abuse me. I let her abuse my goodwill. I allowed it all to happen. But I never let it happen again. I can't say I won't be tempted, because I might be. But when I am tempted, I'll fall back to that story and remind myself, stay true to who you are. Be you, the world will adjust. So I want to leave you with one last thought, maybe one last quote. And I think, as I said, I'm a perennial collector of these quotations because I think that you can use them at the right times. And this one is, the person who does not require validation from anyone is the most feared individual on the planet. And I think that that's probably a better way than saying no is okay, is an okay answer. And that if you're not afraid of no, then you hold all the power. So the last thing I maybe leave you with today is, don't take a big step, but take a little step and say no to something and be okay with no, and put yourself in a position, personal, professional, where something just isn't right and you need to say no. And once you do it once, it's scary. It's uncomfortable if you've never done it, but you'll feel much better. Some people are really good at it. They say no all the time because they're selfish and they just care about that, saying no. But most of us who want to be pleasers, who want to help people, just kind of, okay, let's just go along. All right, I'll do that. You know, okay, so on and so on. So this week, your task is something you don't want to do, say no to it. See how you feel. If you feel good, drop me a note and let me know. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.